Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back on the one and only 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Thanks for joining us. So every year, 133,000 Americans die of heart attacks and another 300,000 die of sudden cardiac arrest. And many Americans, even when they're aware of heart attack symptoms, simply ignore them. Why don't they immediately seek treatment? It's something Dr. Angelo Alonzo, a research scientist at the Yale School of Nursing and the head of the Yale Heart Study, is looking into. And he joins me now to hopefully explain. Dr. Alonzo, thanks for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
So I guess people hear heart attack, cardiac arrest. I think sometimes it seems like the same thing. Are they two different things? Can you give a brief explanation?
Well, a heart attack is generally what we call a myocardial infarction, where one of the coronary arteries is blocked, and as a consequence of the blockage, the heart muscle downstream from the particular blockage dies, and that's essentially what a myocardial infarction is, when we have death of heart tissue as a result of a blockage of the coronary arteries.
And the cardiac arrest is just boom, you're going down.
Yeah, the cardiac arrest essentially is when either the heart stops beating altogether, asystole, or when we have a ventricular fibrillation or some other arrhythmia which doesn't allow the heart to support our life.
I see. Well, you certainly can't ignore that symptom. Although, you know, what's stunning is that sometimes people wait for days before seeking medical care when it comes to an ongoing heart attack, which is amazing. So people are actually able to maintain and continue living life while having this condition go for days on end, huh?
Well, sometimes, you know, the problem is that we've promoted what's called the Hollywood heart attack, where we expect somebody to just sort of fall over, and which happens frequently in movies, and that's why it's called a Hollywood heart attack. But that isn't necessarily always the case. The coronary artery could be getting blocked for several days, and sometimes even weeks, when we sometimes have what we call premonitory symptoms or warning symptoms of a heart attack. These sometimes can occur up to 30 days before, or a day before, or a couple days before, where they're sort of mild, very, very mild, ambiguous symptoms, maybe a little chest pressure, maybe fatigue. That was one of the most frequently reported premonitory symptoms.
I see, fatigue. But that could be, well, fatigue, my goodness. I mean, people
That's
feel
right.
fatigue at
tough,
any moment. So how, right. how is someone supposed to respond if they have a concern? I mean, they can't run to the hospital every time they feel a little tired, right?
That's right, that's right. But looking at the two studies I've done and starting to look at a little bit of the Yale Heart Study that I'm doing right now, that people can pretty easily define there was something wrong with them and there was something different about the symptoms that occurred. And sometimes people reported in other studies that I've done that they had a sense of dread, that they didn't feel well and they just felt very uncomfortable. They didn't feel good about these particular symptoms,
so
the cluster of symptoms.
Why do you think people who are going through this tend to ignore it and just kind of pretend everything's okay to themselves?
Yeah, myself, being a medical sociologist, I sort of look to some extent for social explanations, and one powerful explanation is that people are just very, very tied to their social situation and social circumstance. And if you ask somebody, what would you do if you had symptoms of a heart attack and you can describe these symptoms, and they all say, my God, I would just dial 911 or I would just go to the hospital or whatever. But by and large, that does not really happen very often. People just don't want to leave. They just have too many obligations. They got to get that report in. They have to pick up the kids. They have to go to a meeting.
Well, and they certainly don't want to go and sit in a hospital and be told, hey, you just had a case of heartburn. I mean, how
that's a real problem. That's a real problem.
How much of it is the concern that, you know, I'll go in, I'll go through some extensive test, and they'll tell me, you know what, it's not what you think it is?
Well, that happens. We don't have a good epidemiology of how often that happens and how often people go home, and then as a consequence, how often they delay the next time. For benign situations like you're describing, where it is indigestion, it is a blow to the chest that they didn't realize they got in a pickup basketball game or when they were working in the yard or something, and then they go in and it turns out to be nothing. So the question is, the next time, if they get very negative response from the emergency room staff, they're probably not going to want to go back the second time. But that's why we try to, in a program I was with at NIH, National Heart Attack Alert Program, we try to get emergency room personnel to treat people with respect and to treat them as if, well, even though this wasn't, a problem this time, it could be next time.
Is there a way to kind of put the pieces together with a set of symptoms to say, you know what, I'm 90% sure this is, in fact, a heart attack here?
I don't think we're ever going to get to that 90% because there's just so much variation in people's physiology, the way they respond, the way their body responds, and then the way they respond socially, I was just describing, that we're probably not going to get that close. Most of the people in the Yale Heart Study looking at the preliminary data did not think that the heart attack was what they expected. It was something different than what they expected a heart attack would be like. And for some people, it was what they expected. They had experience or they just were well-educated about symptoms.
In fact, I think when you said this Hollywood heart attack, that really puts it into place, because you're saying that simply feeling fatigued and having a sense of dread can itself indicate a heart attack that's ongoing without any other real symptoms.
Very rarely. Most of the time, people do have some of the classic symptoms of chest pressure, or people sometimes describe it as an elephant sitting on their chest. They feel pressure, they feel fatigue, they feel a little bit of pain radiating down the left arm, they may be short of breath, they may feel a little indigestion. Women are a little different. They have different types of symptoms. The one that stands out is that they usually have scapular pain, something in the back. In their back, usually.
So tell me for the listeners, because the average is about 2 to 4 hours for patients to arrive at a hospital, although it's better to get there within an hour after a symptom begins. Now, why is timing so important, and what is it that happens over time if it does maybe take days or weeks even? Is there further damage being done through that period?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, when you first start getting symptoms, the artery is starting to close down and the blockage is starting to affect the heart muscle. And what you want to do is get there as quickly as possible so that in the emergency department, the blockage can be opened either through pharmaceuticals, a drug, or it can be opened mechanically with angioplasty, where somebody goes up into the artery and expands it with a balloon and then perhaps puts a stent in, or, as I said a moment ago, uses a drug in order to dissolve the clot. And those are all most effective in the first hour, that first golden hour, if you can get there. People have been pushing the envelope therapeutically and essentially doing angioplasty later than thrombolysis.
One last thing, Doctor. I do wonder now, for those who have not been in the hospital for a heart attack, who think, I think there might be something happening here. I don't know what I'm facing when I go in. Will they just open me up, or will I suddenly be in an invasive procedure? What usually happens to figure things out?
No, you're not going to be in an invasive procedure when you go in. They're going to do an EKG, a 12-lead EKG, and they're going to assess whether you've had heart damage. You're going to draw a little blood and do a blood test in order to see if you have any enzymes indicative of a heart attack. So it's going to be an evaluation procedure, but the quicker they can get you the therapy that's appropriate, the better off you are, because the longer you wait, the more heart damage there's going to occur, and what we want to do is avoid that damage.
And one thing for sure, though, is that a heart attack won't kind of go away on its own, huh?
No, it's not going to go away. Although people do have silent heart attacks where they don't know it, and where the symptoms were benign enough so that they were more like the premonitory symptoms I described earlier, and they just sort of go away. And the next time, perhaps you go in for a physical exam, and you do find that the person has had a heart attack. And at that point, then they start to do intervention in order to build you back up again. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're going to do some diagnostic test to find out just how much damage was experienced. The important point there is that sometimes people do have silent heart attacks. But another reason to have yourself checked occasionally.
Never hurts to get in there and be looked over real quickly. Dr. Angela Alonzo, research scientist at the Yale School of Nursing and the head of the Yale Heart Study. Dr. Alonzo, thanks a lot. Very helpful information here.
You're quite welcome. And if somebody wants to take our survey, if they've had a heart attack, just go to heartstudy.yale.edu. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And especially when the website's not too long, that's the key to getting people to visit. Well, we are coming right back. 1320 WILS.